Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston from Insights for Eternity, going out across Africa, and we're in part four of our series on downloading grace from heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to understand how to receive grace. Make your word true to us and powerful to us. Today, in Jesus' name, amen. So, we've been going through our series on downloading grace from heaven, and we find our key verses that run the series are from Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, where we find that grace is free, but then it comes out in good works that we're supposed to be doing. So let's go back to our key verse for this series, and then we'll get on with what we're learning today. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as the result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has good works that he wants us to do, and the good works flow from the grace of God that's given to us. And in the previous three episodes, we find out that grace is received by faith, by hearing with faith. We receive the grace of God. That's how we receive the Holy Spirit, and that's how we receive the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us so we can do the good works. And the good works then build up the body of Christ and help everyone be mature in Jesus. And we find out we have to be good stewards of the grace of God. So we receive the grace of God. That results in charismata or spiritual gifts of all sorts, from administration to cooking to preaching to teaching to evangelism to tongues, whatever. Many, many different spiritual gifts. And we use all those spiritual gifts to build one another and ourselves up in the Lord so we can be mature Christians. So we talked last time about a hypothetical conference. I would be teaching, someone else would be cooking, someone else would be administrating, someone else would be doing the sound, all as one body working together to give glory to God, because that's the whole idea. But we need to go back, and in this session, we're going to look at how to receive the grace of God. This is such a hot topic. It is so hard for people to get. We all think that we've got to be good. We've got to be some super saint. We've got to be Billy Graham or St. Francis of Assisi in order to receive any grace from God. And that God's up there and he's giving us little bits of grace now and then. He's very reluctant to do so. But that's not the biblical teaching at all. The biblical teaching says that Jesus is on a throne of grace. We can go to him confidently and receive grace and help in time of need. So we find that God is very ready to give us the grace we need. We've got to receive it God's way. And God's way is that we receive it through hearing with faith. We receive God's grace through faith. Let's go over to Matthew 17. And I'm dropping bits and pieces of markers here. Okay. Matthew 17 and verse 20, and it's talking about the miracles and that he did in healing an epileptic boy. And they ask him, well, why couldn't they cast out the demon? And Jesus replies, and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So here, if we have faith as a mustard seed, we'll be able to move mountains and nothing will be impossible. So God's grace, which makes the impossible possible, arrives through faith. Truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, so this faith, this mustard seed faith, activates the spiritual gift of being able to cast out demons. These people had it. They'd cast out demons before. The disciples routinely cast out demons. They couldn't get this demon out. And Jesus talks about prayer and fasting later on. But
He says the real problem with the disciples is they didn't have enough faith. They didn't have that mustard seed faith that made the gift active in their life. So if our spiritual gifts, if our good deeds are to be done through faith in the grace of God, we've got to have this active mustard seed faith that sort of is like plugging in to the electric socket. If you plug the fan into the electric socket, it works. And so when we have mustard seed faith, we plug into the power of God and things work. And our spiritual gifts come to life and we can do the works of God that we're called to do. So the grace we're given in Christ, this grace we've been talking about in this series, the sanctifying, sustaining grace, the results in the gifts of God operative in our life, that grace is activated through faith. Now, in case you haven't been following the series, we said there's three kinds of grace: prevenient grace that leads us to become a Christian, justifying grace that makes us saved and born again, and then sanctifying and sustaining grace that keeps us going throughout the Christian life. And this series is talking about that sustaining and sanctifying grace. And the grace that works through the charismata, the spiritual gifts, the word grace, charis, and the word charismata, they're related. So the grace of God causes the gifts of God. So, but the gifts are activated in our life through faith as the mustard seed. And when we've got that, the mountains start to move. Let's go a little bit further in Matthew, and we'll go to Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. Let's go back to verse 18. And now in the morning, when he returned to the city, he became hungry, and seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you." And at once the fig tree withered. And seeing this, the disciples marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it shall happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." So here we're able to command mountains, we're able to command fig trees, we're able to operate in power and authority in the gifts through faith, and all things we ask in prayer we will receive. And the word ask is aiteia, which means demand in prayer, believing that we're going to receive them and we will receive them. So this faith we receive. Well, what do we receive in prayer? We receive grace. We receive the grace we need to be the Christian we should be and to do the works that we should do. You can't download a Mercedes-Benz from heaven. You can download grace from heaven. When you go to the throne of grace and you ask for grace in time of need, yes, God can send you money. Yes, God can supply the education of your children. Of course he can do that. But the primary thing that God supplies is God's grace operating in your life, the power of the Holy Ghost, the strength of God. And when you've got the strength of God, the rest becomes easy. So the main thing is that you need the kind of faith that will move the mountain, that will fill you with the confidence and the strength to do the great works of God, because you're strengthened by God. And you're not operating out of yourself. You're operating out of a place of prayer, a place of holiness, a place of sanctification, and a place of absolute unshakable faith in God, who makes everything possible for you. And so at all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Let's keep going. Mark 11:22. And we'll go over there 22 to 25. And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them, and they shall be granted you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father, who also is in heaven, may forgive you for your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive your transgressions." So God supplies grace through faith and denies grace if we're mean and nasty, but that's a whole other topic. But God supplies grace to us so that we can be in the image of Jesus Christ. He supplies grace to us so you can move the mountains and do the mighty works of God, but you've got to believe. And it's hard to believe. It's a great work. Faith is a great work. And we've got to undertake that faith, and we've got to believe that we've received. So when you ask for grace from God, you've got to believe that you've received the grace of God. You've got to believe that the grace of God has arrived in you, in your heart, and in your mind. And you can test it out with something easy. For instance, like joy or peace. If you say, I believe I'm receiving the perfect peace of God, and you believe it, you decide that you're going to believe that, suddenly you'll be flooded with the perfect peace of God. You will receive it. You've got to believe that you've received it. If you want a joyful life, if you want an optimistic life, believe that you're receiving the joy of God. Believe that God's downloading joy into you when you have no joy. When your tank of joy is empty, when you're miserable, when you're tired, when you're frustrated, go to God and say, my tank of joy is empty, but I believe that I am receiving heavenly joy into my empty tank, and it's going to be filled up. And then God's joy will flow into you from the throne of grace in heaven, and your tank of joy will be full, and you'll be full of the abundant joy of God. You won't have to be looking to circumstances to give you joy, because you will be able to have the sort of joy that Paul and Silas had in the jail at Philippi, when they rejoiced in the Lord and sang hymns even at midnight in jail after they'd been beaten up, because they downloaded joy from heaven into their spirit, and they became joyful and grateful people. If you are lacking love, you say, Lord, I believe that I am receiving love. The grace of love is flowing into my life, and I can love my kids, I can love my husband, I can love my wife, I can love my community, I can love my church and my pastor, because God's giving me the grace to enable me to be a loving person. So when you're full of tiredness and bitterness and frustration, and you feel you can't love anyone at all, you say, Lord, I need you to pour out heavenly love into my heart, because you don't have any in yourself. And we come to those points when we're empty, and we have to believe that we're receiving the grace of God for things like love and joy and peace and patience. When you run out of patience, you've run out of patience. Where are you going to get the patience from? Are you going down to the shop to buy it? No. You've got to download it from heaven. So when you run out of patience, say to God, I've run out of patience. I need you to pour patience into me from your throne of grace. And patience will come into your heart. And you say, Lord, I believe that I'm receiving patience from heaven. You've got to believe that God's going to put patience in your heart when there's none there. You don't look to your own resources. You look to your heavenly resources. And you let God pour all that good things into your heart. So you've got to believe that you've received it. You've got to believe that it's accomplished in heaven. You've got to stop doubting about yourself and about the thing that God's doing through you. So you've got to get rid of that doubt, and you've got to start believing that God's going to give you good things. You've got to believe that you've received in advance. You've got to believe that you've received your gift of teaching or your gift of tongues or whatever gift that God's given you. You've got to believe that you've received it, and it will operate through you when you need to operate through it, because heaven's going to flow through you. So let's go on to Luke 17 and verse 6. Luke 17 and verse 6. Okay, and the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now you notice something here. You say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. This is a command. Now, when we've believed that we've received, we then command. So you speak to the mulberry tree, you speak to the problem, the deeply rooted problem. The mulberry tree is like a deeply rooted problem in your life. It's something that's taken over, that's got into the system. Mulberry trees are great. They're big and they're really messy. If you've ever tried to eat mulberries, you just end up with purple stuff all over your face. And so mulberry trees are big. And we use them to feed silkworms and other things like that. So God's working through you. And this big tree, this mulberry tree, it's going to be uprooted and it's going to be cast into the sea. And this deeply rooted problem that's messing up your life, you can command it to go from you. So what kind of a deeply rooted problem can you have? A deeply rooted problem can be alcoholism, depression, or anxiety. You might have a bad memory that's deeply rooted in your life and it comes back and it embarrasses you. You may have some deeply rooted sin of envy or a selfish ambition, or you find yourself easily resenting people and being oversensitive. You find yourself overreacting to small things. And this is a deeply rooted problem in your life, in your heart. And you can speak to that mulberry tree. You can say, be uprooted from my personality and from my character. And you can tell your anger to go away, and you can tell your sadness to go away. So let's think about how to do that. Say that you're a person that has a lot of anger in their life. The first thing you need to know is that you can cast that anger out. So it never comes back. It never has to come back in your life. You can speak to your anger and you say, angry moods, go away from me now in Jesus' name. I'm never going to be subjected to an angry mood again. I'm never going to let an angry mood take over my day ever again in my life. I'm not going to be a sour and angry and resentful person. I cast anger out of my system. And let me give you some biblical background why you can do that. In English, we say, I am angry, which is a very silly thing to say because you're identifying with your anger. But in Hebrew and in the Old Testament and in the Bible, they say, I have anger. And if anger is just something you have, then you can throw it away. You can cast it out. You can order it gone. And so you say, I have anger, or you can say, you have an angry mood. But you can pick that anger up and you can throw it out, just like you can uproot the mulberry tree. But you've got to believe that it can be uprooted. You've got to believe that anger can be gone from your life. You've got to believe that that sour mood and those angry days can be gone from your life for good. So you speak to your angry mood and you say, angry mood, I'm uprooting you now by the power of the name of Jesus. I'm uprooting you from my life and I'm never going to have an angry mood again. And I rebuke you. Go and be cast into the deepest sea and get out of my life forever. And you rebuke your angry moods. You rebuke your temper. You rebuke your depression and your anxiety. And you rebuke it because it's gone down deep into you. The roots of the mulberry tree are there. They're through every part of your life. And it's bearing this bitter fruit. And it's destroying your life. And so you've got to get that whole tree out, not just the fruit. You've got to pull the whole thing out and you command it in Jesus' name. And you believe, you've got to believe that it's gone. And you say, but I can't believe I'll ever get anger out of my life because it's been there since forever and ever. When I was hurt as a child, or my father was angry, my grandfather was angry. These are spirits that go down the generations and so on and so forth. You don't need to be angry. You can command that anger to leave your life and stay away for good. And you can command irritability to get out of your life and stay away for good. You can command alcoholism and drugs to get out of your life and stay away for good. You might need some friends to pray with you on that. And they're all praying and they're all commanding and they say, mulberry tree of drugs, get out of this person's life. And you're going to have no more hold. All those deep roots are going to have no more hold. Bitterness is not going to have any more hold. And trauma, all these things can be pulled out of your life by commanding with faith. And you've got to command them to go. It says, speak to the mulberry tree. And you've got to command it and it's got to go and it's got to get out of your life forever. So you need to get rid of all these things, these mountains and these mulberry trees. The mountains are the things you can never get over, you can never get round, you can never get past. They're the huge obstacles in your life. They might be interior or they might be exterior. You might have a mountain of poverty and you're going to cast that mountain into the deepest sea. It's a mountain of poverty, mountain of debt, a mountain of restrictions on my life. I'm speaking to you in the name of Jesus and I believe you're moving. I believe you're moving and I'm going to receive that now. I receive the moved mountain. I receive the uprooted mulberry tree and you've got to speak to that mountain of poverty and debt and you've got to believe that it's going to move. And that's hard to do. Getting to that point of faith, you're going to say, Lord, give me the faith to move the mountain. Give me the faith to uproot the mulberry tree. Give me the faith to make progress. And God will give you that. So you go to the throne of grace in time of need and say, Lord, I need faith. I need grace for faith. I need your grace poured out into my life because I need faith right now. And we remember the father of the epileptic boy who was being convulsed. And he said, I believe, help me in my unbelief. And I think God downloaded faith into him right at that moment. And he believed and he was able to see the miracle for his son. And so we need to have faith as a mustard seed. We can't get that faith from the shop. We have to download it from heaven. And God gives to us a measure of faith. And he can increase your faith as you serve him and go about the good works. And that's another parable somewhere else in, I think, the book of Luke. And so God wants to increase your faith so that you can move mountains and you can move mulberries, mulberry trees, and you can uproot this stuff from your life. but you've got to believe that you've received it. This is one of the principles of grace. You've got to believe that you've received the grace of God and it's operating, and you don't have to rely on your feelings. You've just got to grab hold of it by faith. Let's go back to the issue of patience, which is something we all need on a daily basis. So you're out of patience. You go to the heavenly throne of grace and say, Lord, I need patience now. You've then got to believe you've got the patience and you act like you're a patient person. So when you're in that frustrating situation, when you're in the difficult meeting, you believe that you've received patience and you start acting like a patient person, and suddenly you'll find that you're patient because you've believed that you've received it and now you've got it and now you can live out of it and you can live like a patient person. So we've got to believe that we've received the grace of God. This is absolutely critical. Now let's go to Matthew 15, verse 28. Matthew 15 and verse 28. There we are. Matthew, my Bible here. Okay, Matthew 15, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. So we find that here with the Syrophoenician woman, he says, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. So when you have great faith, things will happen at once. They'll be healed immediately. People will be changed and lives will be changed. So if you want to receive the grace of God, if you want to receive healing, if you want to receive financial help, if you want to receive a changed life or a changed family, you've got to believe that you've received. You've got to move in faith. You've got to lay hold of the grace of God. And a lot of your Christian life should be laying hold of God's grace, pressing into God, pressing into the scriptures, worshiping until you've downloaded the grace of God into your life to make the change happen. Let's go to Luke and 7 and verse 50. Luke chapter 7 and verse 50. Here we are. And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The faith downloaded the grace and the woman was saved by faith. This in the case was a woman who wanted forgiveness of sins, and she was miserable and she was crying. And Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, if we go to Luke chapter 8, just over a couple of pages, Luke 8:48, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. This is the woman that touched Jesus's cloak. She had faith. She believed. She received. Stretched her arm out to receive, and she was made well from her hemorrhage, and her faith saved her, and she went in peace. Let's go over to Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 19. Over quite a few pages, and there we are, verse 19. And he said to him, rise and go your way, your faith has made you well. And this is the leper, one of the 10 lepers. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And in Luke 18 and verse 42, and Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Jesus is saying this, that the faith unleashes the grace. The faith unleashes the grace. So let's try and summarize where we're going today. There's a throne of grace. And we have to get stuff from the throne of grace to apply it in our life. In this case, it was healing or salvation or forgiveness of sins. And the faith enabled the grace to flow. And when we keep on having faith, we're able to move mountains and we're able to uproot mulberry trees. Of course, I'm not running around the world trying to uproot every mulberry tree I see. What do I have to uproot? I have to uproot bitterness, envy, and resentment. And you need to uproot them from your life, and you need to speak to bitterness, envy, and resentment. And you say, get out of my life now. You speak to the mulberry tree. You command it to go. You command your moods to change, and they will change. And I've done that. It's another story. And the mountains in your life that need to be moved, the big problems, you speak to those mountains by faith. You have the faith from God, just like you're casting out a demon. You speak to the problem in your life and you say, be gone in Jesus' name. So faith activates grace. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith activates grace. You've got to believe that you're receiving the grace of God, because these things are not found on earth. They're found in heaven. And we've got to get heavenly things into our life somehow if we're to do miracles, if we're to heal people, if we're to move mountains, if we're to uproot the feelings in our heart that have dominated us all our life. The only way you can do that is through faith. That's the way we get heavenly things into our life. And so it's not through works. It's not by being a good boy. All the being a good boy in the world won't get rid of the bitterness and envy and resentment in your heart. You'll just say, why is it still happening? I'm a good boy. But the bitterness and the resentment will stay there no matter how good you are. But the bitterness and resentment will go when you command them to go, when you're sick of them, you want them out of your life, and you say, mulberry tree of resentment, out of my life right now. Or mulberry tree of addiction, mulberry tree of anxiety or depression. Command those things out of your life. Say, I don't want that anymore, and I'm commanding it to go, and I believe it's going. I believe that God's going to rip this stuff out of my life, and I'm going to be a happy human being, because that's what God wants. God wants you in the image of God. He wants you happy. He wants you healthy. He wants you in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you mature. And so as you command the mountains to move, as you command the mulberry trees to be uprooted, as you believe that you're receiving, your prayers will be answered. And that's what God says. If you believe, you will receive, and then your prayers will be answered. So connect yourselves into this idea of faith. If you think, Mr. Edmiston, my faith is small, then go to God and ask for faith. Say, I believe I'm receiving faith from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that my faith is going to grow so I can deal with my problems. So go to God, ask him for faith, ask him for grace, ask for heavenly supply, because it's the heavenly supply that will do the miracles. It's the heavenly supply that will supply you with the abundance you need, and it's the heavenly supply that will change your character, your mind, and your personality. So go to God for faith. You need that faith. If you don't know what faith is, read Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 will tell you about the men and women of old who conquered things through faith. And you have to believe that you have received, and you've got to command the junk out of your life. You've got to take authority over your life, and you've got to have faith as a mustard seed. And then the grace of God will start pouring into you from the throne of grace, and you will have everything you need in time of need. So this is John Edmiston signing off from Insights for Eternity. I'll see you next week. God bless and have a great day.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity. And I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you and be blessed in the Lord this week.